The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism giant poster. Well, if you're a Walking Dead fan, that kind of music thrills and chills. It means for another week you will spend at least an hour trying to survive what they've called the zombie apocalypse, the dystopic future with a group of people that you've come to love and some of them you've come to hate. My wife tells me that my Sunday night ritual of watching this show, The Walking Dead, is just a male version of a soap opera. She's probably right, but it is deep. It entertains a lot of themes, basic themes like life and death. Joining us to talk about some Christian themes in the TV series The Walking Dead, Pastor Sam Schultheis. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, and he's authored a recent blog post titled The Bible and The Walking Dead. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you again.
First, you got to deal with the objection that people will have. Some people don't watch this because it's simply too gruesome and they just don't want to watch this. And some would object for probably more ethical reasons. They would say, how could you possibly be interested in, much less entertained by, or even discuss a show whose premise is people animated after death, flesh-eating walkers?
Well, I think part of the reason that those objections can be answered is that there's some freedom in watching shows like this, and it's not even that you necessarily maybe agree with everything that goes on in the show, but even in the things that you disagree with, you can find something that you can learn from or take from the show. You can find entertainment even in shows that maybe you don't enjoy every aspect of. Plus, I mean, I just have to be mindful and careful of who you let watch it. I mean, I don't let my children watch this show with me. I wouldn't until they were an appropriate age. There's some kind of parental guidance to that kind of thing. But at the same time, Christians aren't legalists either in saying that you can't watch this and be a Christian and so forth. I think some discernment some healthy kind of investigation is just probably a good word of caution.
It's one of those where you suspend your disbelief because the premise of the show is that for some reason, unknown reason that's never fully explained, the vast majority of the world's population has succumbed to some kind of condition wherein either they have become the walking dead, that is, people who are biologically, physiologically dead but somehow still animated to feast on human flesh, or they've died and become one of these. I mean, that requires a huge leap of suspension of disbelief.
But absolutely.
It raises a lot of very, very basic questions, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that's fascinating about it is, like in a lot of different science fiction or fantasy novels or television shows or movies, you have to have some kind of suspension of belief. You have to create a secondary world wherein these different events, sometimes catastrophic events, are possible and believable, and where they have the inner ring of truth within that kind of storytelling. It's kind of like in the Harry Potter world with all the sorts of things that go on with the wizards and witches. A lot of it is a rhetorical device or a writing device, a way of telling a story within this kind of created imaginative world, although this one is rather dark and pretty gruesome and scary most of the time. It's not a very positive, happy world to live in, of this show, that kind of thing. But even in the midst of that, I think it's interesting the kinds of questions and things that are discussed and that the characters wrestle with themselves, and that the dialogue makes many of the viewers question and wrestle with different ethical, moral, and religious issues. It's interesting. One of the major characters in a few previous seasons, named Herschel Green, very actually devout Christian in a lot of ways, he ends up saying something like, well, I'd always believed the dead would rise. I didn't think it would quite be like this, or this is not what I thought that God had in mind, or maybe that he had something better. And indeed, you can use that and say, well, he does, and this is not what it is.
Now, I want to get to the specifically Christian or post-Christian characters that we find all over the place in this in the long-running series now. But first, let's deal with the basics. We're talking about, as you say, a survival story. What do you mean by that?
Well, from the beginning of the show, you have this. The show kind of jumps in sort of midstream. You don't really know, again, like you mentioned, you don't really know how this disease or whatever it is, this infection, they seem to all have it. They find this out in the show. They find this out in the comic books, too, which are kind of run parallel to it in some ways and differ in other areas. But you find out that actually The Walking Dead doesn't refer whatsoever to the zombies and the walkers, but to the people, because they are The Walking Dead. But in the midst of this, you have so you're jumped right into the story, and it starts right off the bat in a rather well. You have to survive. It's either that, or you become this nasty, horrible, gruesome kind of walking biter thing, or just dead and gone. And there seems to be this constant fight to survive against all, well, really against all odds, and whatever else comes in their way. So this group bands together, and that. That's how they end up surviving.
There's a kind of a constant theme that runs through it as well, Pastor Schultheis, and that is in the midst of a world that is extremely violent on a daily basis, the attempt to keep the vestiges of your humanity, that's kind of the neutral way of talking about it. What are your thoughts there?
There's a great deal of struggle with that. Many of the characters kind of go through an interesting transformation of trying to find humanity in a world that is, you know, pretty much all but lost it in many ways. And they encounter people that have lost all sense of humanity and how you treat other people. There's usually at least one or two people within the group that is the main character group that seems to have some kind of moral compass. And some kind of way of guiding and leading the other members of the group. Unfortunately, in the show, it does seem that the person who has that usually ends up dying rather quickly, which maybe shows you how brutal the world is. But I think that too, is a pretty good reflection of society and the world we live in, that anybody with a sense of right or wrong, the world, sin and death and these kinds of things are going to try to chew them up, spit them out, and be done with them.
You already mentioned one of the characters, Herschel, who's an overtly religious man. When we meet him, his family is religious. He's surviving with his family on a rather remote farm. I kind of want to give that character the benefit of the doubt that he remains a Christian to the very bitter end. The other overtly religious character that comes to mind, recently introduced, is a pastor. And he's the kind of character, I'll just be honest with you, Sam, he's the guy I want, you know, I really wouldn't mind if they knocked him off by the end of this season, because he's a detriment. He's the exact opposite of what a Christian ought to be.
He's been a danger to the group physically, but spiritually speaking, as in his vocation as a shepherd and a pastor, we've seen that he's been faithless at just about every turn. I mean, he conducts a funeral for a couple of the members of the group, but that's about all he's done, really, that you could say that was a good thing. Everything else has been not so good.
Were you concerned that there was an attempt on the part of the people who make the who make this production, this television program, to say, you know, these individual Christians, great people, but the institutional church is useless and will crumble into a pile of lies if this were to happen?
I mean, I wonder if there may have been some attempt with the writers and the producers to make that kind of thing. But I find it interesting that the people in the group that this pastor, Father Gabriel, is in, they end up calling him on his faithfulness or faithlessness on several occasions. So even though the church and the institution maybe doesn't look so good, or you could say that they're using his character as a foil to show, you know, what kind of I don't know, maybe they're doing it to show what a farce they think the church is, that kind of thing. But the people in the group know that the church should be about something better, and the pastors, as representatives, should be as well. And then they call him out on that on several occasions. Even Even the host of the after show, The Talking Dead, commented about this last week when Father Gabriel was talking about the group in a negative way towards the current group that they're in this Alexandria, this current season. So it's kind of interesting dynamic there. The people you would guess and you would hope that would be doing their job and their vocation are not, like the pastor. And the people, many of the other people in the group end up doing his job in some ways.
Pastor Sam Schultheis is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Christian themes in the TV series The Walking Dead. A couple themes we'll discuss on the other side of the break is that, yes, even in the world of The Walking Dead, sin is real. Death is real. There aren't any pretty funerals in this world. And we'll talk about some specific religious references, often stunning visual references that you find in this TV series. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa, Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin, St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christian themes in the TV series The Walking Dead. Pastor Sam Schultheis is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, author of a recent blog post titled The Bible and the Walking Dead. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. One of the things that I find most enjoyable, to tell you the truth, resonates with me the strongest in watching The Walking Dead, is that this is a world where sin is real. Every single character has just a barbarian inside them at some point. We get to see it occasionally. And every single one of them could be killed off at any moment because they're all sinners. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's a very perceptive way of looking at the show. And I think one of the values, you know, we had talked to about why it could be okay for Christians to watch this show at the beginning of the segment. And I think this is one of the reasons why art and literature and movies and television, they often give us a mirror of what society is thinking about or looking like looking towards, that kind of thing. In watching this show, I continually think of the book The Lord of the Flies, where everybody thinks, oh, humanity is all great and wonderful, and then you set these boys in the middle of an island in the middle of nowhere, and they... all hell breaks loose, literally. And I think The Walking Dead is a good way of showing that people in our society and our culture have a good diagnosis, at least, of some of the problems, some of the sin, the death, the chaos, that things are broken in creation. Of course, shows like this, usually of the apocalyptic dystopian genre, are pretty good on diagnosing it, maybe, but pretty terrible on offering any kind of hopeful solution, because usually as soon as you get a glimmer of hope in a show like this, it's squelched to the next moment. But I think at least in diagnosing a problem and showing sin both within and without, you know, in the world around us, The Walking Dead does an excellent job of that. I mean, the title itself lends itself very easily to that.
There's no pretty death in this world. I mean, there may be people who die nobly, but death is all around, and its face, literally its face, its real face, is there to be seen. This isn't the funeral parlor.
Right. It's ugly, and I think that's a good thing for people to realize, that we've sanitized death in a lot of ways in our culture. You know, we don't call it a hearse anymore. Sometimes we call it a coach. We don't have a funeral director or a mortuary anymore. We have a funeral home. We have all these names that we've kind of tried to desensitize ourselves about death. To try to put lipstick over, you know, a skull, but we can't. And the scriptures demand that we look and call death for what it is, which is horrific and condemnable because of sin. It is a damn shame that death occurs. And yet, Christ takes this greatest evil and ill that has come upon his creation, this curse, and takes it upon himself for us. So I think even in talking about death with shows like The Walking Dead, you can use those things to move quickly to the gospel and show that, yes, there's some big, nasty problems out there, death being the chief of them. Fear and guilt go right along with that. But look to where Christ has answered these, and there you can find some comfort and hope.
There is also a theme of redemption that runs through, and I'm thinking in particular here about the Daryl character, who starts out very early allied with his not just mischievous, but positively criminal brother, and has emerged as, he's not the moral center, he doesn't seem to have much by way of morality, but at least he has loyalty
right
on his side.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to watch, just for, in each character, how their character develops. And slowly over time, we've noticed, I think, the characters in this show stop living for themselves and start to live sacrificially for others. Now, again, it's not perfect. It's not going to be. I think that too is reflective of reality, but in order to survive, these folks have to lay down their life for one another, for their friends, their family as they've become. That's been a big emphasis this last season, is how they really have become a tighter-knit family on account of, you know, in part because of the tragedies they've gone through, but I think chiefly because they've learned to trust one another and sacrifice themselves for one another in a lot of situations.
And finally, there are some overt, obvious religious references that you've noticed in the course of watching the series. Just run through a few of them, if you would, with a couple minutes left here.
Oh, definitely. There's in the comic books and in the regular season show, there ends up being a marriage. In the comic book, they ended up reading 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, and it's a great ironic twist, because they're getting married, there's love, and then the world around them outside of this prison is completely, well, it's zombified and horrid and rather cruel. The other one, again, repeatedly, we've had funerals. Almost every time they make a cross, there's been different hymns and things put in the background of episodes that sometimes I'll have to watch it again to catch it, but I'll find it there. Recently, at the beginning of this season, for several episodes, they were inside of an Episcopalian church out in the middle of nowhere. This is where we come across that previously mentioned character, Father Gabriel. But on the hymn board inside, now they didn't use it for hymns, so you kind of see Hollywood doesn't always get it right, but it's interesting to see where they do get it right. They have five great hymn verse or Bible verses written up there, all of them dealing with death and resurrection. I mean, like Romans 6:4 is up there talking about how when you're baptized, you're buried with Christ and rise again with him. And you get Ezekiel 37 with the Valley of the Dry Bones being brought back to life. And I mean, the crown of all of the verses on there is Luke 24 and Jesus and his death and resurrection being proclaimed there by the angels. He's not here, he's risen. And those are some of the verses up there. I find that fascinating.
Pastor Sam Schulteis is pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's authored a recent blog post titled The Bible and The Walking Dead. Sam, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, Todd. Pleasure to be on.
Folks, if you look at what we've been able to discuss in just the short 2 hours of Issues, Etc. today, we talked about Hinduism and an expanded beef ban in India. We talked about gay marriage in the Mormon church. We discussed fetal homicide laws, the Islamic State's bombing of Shia mosques in Yemen. We talked about a reformation in Islam and the walking dead. If you appreciate the breadth of topics that we cover on a daily basis here, you do not want to miss this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. We'll be talking about biblical archaeology, the difference between men and women, the early church fathers, responding to postmodernism and responding to scientism, and more. Attendance is limited this year to 400 people and no more, and the registration fee is just $100. Find out more at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. You can email him as well, Craig at issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss serving our neighbors. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. We're going to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, with Pastor Michael Free sitting in for Pastor David Peterson. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.